But so, with that in mind, Gary Hughes, welcome to the show today.
It's beautiful to be here. It's a nice day and a little overcast. I don't know if it's going to rain. It's supposed to rain tomorrow, maybe.
That's what they say. If the rain comes in from LA, generally we get it here, but you never know. We're in the desert and things change quickly down here. All right, so for you, things have changed. You heard me talk about you a little bit, and I'm actually interested in this because you now work with an organization. You've been in the game, probably 40 years in the professional side of it. You've been in the amateur side, baseball coach at Marin Catholic in the Bay Area, Sarah High graduate. You've been all over Bay Area baseball, but you're a guy who's the scout, the perfect scout. He likes to watch the game. Now you're with an organization that Bill James is all over with the computers. There must be a transition for you.
Well, no, I'm not going to change. And they made it very clear that they're not just about stats and analysis and stuff like that. And obviously, they wouldn't have brought me on board if they wanted, another guy to run a computer or whatever else the other tools that they use. And the general manager is a young man named Ben Cherington, who I didn't know. And he phoned me and explained his background a little bit. He was an area scout. He's got a good, solid baseball background. Very brilliant guy, as many of these young guys are. But he wanted me to know, personally. He said, "I'd like to have you here. We need people. We need different thoughts and different approaches to things." And they felt that I had a lot of contacts that they could use. And so it was pretty nice. I was in Key West, Florida, on my yearly vacation, and they sent a guy down there, the pro scouting director, to talk to me about a job. And as soon as the guy showed up in Key West, I said, "Anybody can get a business trip to Key West is all right with me."
Very good. All right. So, but they respect the eyes of the scout. In other words, you'll look at players, certain players, and make recommendations and things like that. And then they have their computer with the Bill James and the stats and all that.
Yeah, I think that they've got some preconceived notions, the numbers wise, on a guy. But I've always said numbers say what they've done, and the scout will tell you what he's going to do. And I think that's very important. I want to mention a person that when Theo Epstein went over to starting with the Red Sox, he had a Bill LaJoie with him. And Bill LaJoie is a
Bill LaJoie, sure.
longtime baseball man and was a big part of helping Theo get his feet on the ground as a baseball guy. So there's a history there of having good baseball people. Alec Baird's there now, and he's a good baseball man.
All right, Gary Hughes with us. As you could tell, all the years of scouting, he knows the game. And for the fans, we get excited down here. You know that. I'm accused of jumping on the bandwagon very quickly on things. Little Gregor Blanco has really worked himself into what I think is the fourth outfielder spot on this team. The Giants clearly are running more. Give me your take a little bit, and you've watched the Giants here for a few days. Give me your take on Blanco and what fans can expect from your eyes of watching the Giants.
Well, first on Blanco, what the fans can look for is a lot of fun watching the guy play the game. And I mean, he plays hard. He brings the thing that never slumps, which is speed, and plays hard and. Like you said, he's probably put himself in a pretty good position to make that club. And he's very, very fun to watch. I've just been here for a week, and I was in Florida before that, and so I haven't seen a lot of him. But everything I've seen him is pretty darn exciting, and I think the fans will have fun watching him when and if he starts a season or ends up there at some time.
While you were in Chicago, you had Angel Pagan. Now, Angel Pagan is back. He's had a couple of days off. He said, "Boy, he doesn't want to get rained out." He says, "I got too many days off. I want to play." And then he told me, he's not a great spring training player. For him, he just wants the season to get underway. He's hitting .269, no homers, 4 RBIs. He's run the bases well. He glides in center field. Tell the fans a little bit about Pagan, because he really was a Cub. He came up with the Cub system. Then you moved him to the Mets. But what should we expect from Angel Pagan?
He made a great play the other day, too, while I was here. I remember seeing that, and I know Tim Flannery's been working with him real hard. And you're going to see a talented player. He's got tools, and that we go back to scouting, and that's what scouts look for, is tools, and Pagan has them. He'll be an exciting player for you. He can do things, and maybe like you mentioned, they're going to run a little more. He should be able to help in that, too, at least going first to third.
Well, we see him down in the field as the Giants are taking batting practice. He's there with Mike Fontenot talking to the former manager of the Chicago Cubs. Mike Quatty is joining the group today and renewing acquaintances with Ron Wotus. And he was Bruce Bochy's all-star coach last year,
which was very nice. And I know Mike was very, very appreciative of the fact that Bruce had him do that. And I got together with Mike down in Florida, and then I've seen him a couple of nights here. And I think he's happy to be back on a ball field, and that's where he belongs.
Yeah, nice to have John Miller's talking with him now as well down on the field. Gary, again, I get excited sometimes seeing things in spring training. Scouts have to temper that, don't they? I mean, there's a rhythm to the season. The first couple of months you're seeing what your team is all about. Then it's molding together. Then the interleague comes about. And then you get to August, and I say the pros and the pitching takes over in August. What about spring training? How do you evaluate players down here? Not to get too excited about Brandon Belt hitting 375, and then all of a sudden the season starts and they find a hole in his swing. How do you balance all that?
Well, it's okay to get excited. I mean, I'd rather a guy like players than not like players. I think some scouts get into situations where they tend to be a little too negative. So I think it's okay, but it's always really, really, really important to realize it's spring training. And you can get fooled, and and I think the guy that's been around the game for a while doesn't get quite as high or as low, probably stays and said that, you know, he's seen it before. He's seen the guys, the Clint Hartungs
Randy Elliott,
guys that had great springs, and it just didn't happen for him. You know, maybe they even got on the Sports Illustrated cover from a spring training deal, and it didn't work. You know, that puts two big expectations on these guys, and it's not fair to them either. But you just take it like it is. Some guys working their way into, you know, being ready for the season. They know where they're going to be. They don't have to worry about too many things. They'll work on certain things. Pitchers will work on. They might use two of their four pitches today because that's what they're going to work on.
Matt Cain, he's been in the news this week, and I'm sure we'll talk about it on the pregame today a little bit if we want, certainly on the postgame. What's going to happen with Matt Cain? Boy, what a market he's got out there. Here's the question to you. Does the Players Association get involved? And you've been through a lot of contract negotiations. Do they sort of have a say in this? Because my take on Cain is they want him to get the most possible. They want Cole Hamels to get the most possible. They're two, what I call, the second-tier pitchers. You know, it's not Halliday, it's not Cliff Lee, it's not Sabathia, it's not Verlander. And if the second-tier pitchers raise that yearly salary to $22 million or $20 million, then the next group that's coming along, all of a sudden they go from $12 million to $16 million. How does that play into a negotiation? Because I think this is part of what's going on with Cain.
Well, you know, I have very limited business background, so I couldn't really tell you that. But, I mean, what you said just makes all kinds of sense. And why wouldn't, you know, any business you're in, you try to do as well as you can, and if you do better, the guy coming behind you is going to do better, and I think that's kind of the nature of business, at least as I understand it, and, you know, maybe that's going, you know, that's a situation, but in the end, the player has to do what's best for the player on a lot of levels, and it doesn't have to be the last dime.
Well, did you go through that with the Cubs, getting somebody who you thought maybe was going to go somewhere else? I mean, Maddox left the Cubs, and he went to Atlanta. Of course, you weren't with the Cubs at that point, but you must have seen this in your experience.
Oh, sure, time and time again. And a lot of times it's the club's not that interested in keeping the guy, you know, and they'll let him go. And of course, the job of the agent is to show that everybody's interested in their player, you know, and so that'll be the case. So they're trying to create value for their man, and the club is trying to say, well, you know, he does have value, but it's not that much. So
how do you feel about a pitcher 6 years, 7 years? How do you feel about that?
Well, it depends on who the pitcher is, and you know, you pitchers are going to get hurt. They're going to break down sometime and somewhere, and it's a lot of times it happens after they get a huge contract, and it hurts. I mean, it hurts a lot of things you can do, so you're leery of it. But then the other thing, the balance is you don't want to lose the guy, so it's going to cost you that. So.
Yeah, you got to have the horses.
I said
there's a difference between wanting to win and just getting better. if you want to win, you got to go out and get the horses to win. If you want to get better, you sign some people, you get better. But for the teams that want to win, you got to have the horses on the mound. That's my feeling about it.
Oh, yeah. The game's so much pitching.
You have to pitch. Yeah. Well, nice to see you. Pleasure.
Hey, before
I have to say hello to everybody.
Thank
you. Go ahead.
There's only two people, and one of them really isn't going to understand because he's one day old. That's my first great-grandchild. His father's Andreas Martin, and his mom's Sherry, and they just had a little baby boy yesterday named Mason Timothy Martin. And today, St. Patrick's Day, is my redheaded grandchild's Ava Ball's birthday. So.
Okay, all right. All right.
I thank you.
Kruko just walked by in a green shirt yelling something. All right, so we know it's St. Patrick's Day. Gary Hughes, thanks for stopping by. So this is a baseball conversation. I appreciate it.
I love it. Thank you.
All right, that is Gary Hughes.